from KQED.
And welcome back to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer. And for the rest of this hour, we are going to be talking retail. Last year, about 8,000 stores, more than that actually, closed nationwide as mall traffic dropped and some retailers like Toys R Us and Payless filed for bankruptcy. But in spite of the ongoing closure and downsizing of many brick-and-mortar stores, a new report by LinkedIn shows that there's actually a renewed demand for retail employees nationwide. Now, in most markets, there have been enough workers to meet the demand, but here in the Bay Area, there are about 10,000 unfilled retail jobs. And store owners are struggling to keep and attract potential employees. And so we're going to take a look at that, what the shortage means for business owners and others. Joining us, Guy Berger is the chief economist for LinkedIn. He joins us by phone. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And with me here in the studio, Kathleen Pender is business columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, writes the column Net Worth. Good morning. Welcome to you.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Well, Guy Berger, first of all, tell us about that study that LinkedIn did and what it found.
Yeah, sure. So we look at data on skills that our members have, as well as the data that shows up in job openings. And what we conclude from both hiring behavior by employers and from those job listings is certainly in the Bay Area, there's a shortage of over 10,000 people with retail sales skills that is significantly bigger than it was in the beginning of the year. And that's generally, there are other parts of the country where you still have available workers, but even in those places, that big pool of people with retail sales skills is shrinking. And so if things keep going like this, more and more cities, at this point we have a count of 21 cities that these shortages exist, we're going to see more and more shortages in the sector of people with the skills necessary to do these jobs.
And is it that people with those skills are just doing other things, or fewer people want to work in retail? What is it?
I think it's a combination of things. I think some of these people have gone into doing other kinds of jobs. Some of these people, you know, are already employed in the retail sector, more and more of them, because hiring has gone up somewhat. And some of it is, you know, particularly in the Bay Area, some of these people may have left because it is so expensive to live here.
Kathleen Pender, this shortage of workers is a little surprising because we hear that retail is in such trouble. As we mentioned at the top, there are big retail chains, some of them declaring bankruptcy. Here in San Francisco, we see a lot of vacant storefronts. What do you make of this, the shortage of workers?
Well, yes, I thought it was very counterintuitive. That's why I wrote about it in the Chronicle last night, because this week rather, because you just hear about so many retailers going out of business, you think the workers would be desperate for jobs. But I think the fact of the matter is that unemployment in the Bay Area is incredibly low across the board. The state unemployment rate is 4.2%. It's well below that throughout the Bay Area. In San Francisco, it's 2.4%. San Mateo, 2.3%. That's low considering that a lot of economists consider 4% to be more or less full employment when everyone who wants a job can get one. So to be, you know, like half of that in the Bay Area, it's pressuring all employers, I think, but especially those who just can't afford to pay competitive wages. And then, of course, the other big issue that the retailers I spoke up with is the housing cost. And if you're in San Francisco and paying San Francisco's minimum wage of $15, just you can't afford to live on that here in San Francisco. And maybe if you're out in the Far East Bay, you can, but then you're looking at a two-hour commute. Public transportation. You have to take a couple different modes to get here.
I met a Lyft driver a few months ago who was from Afghanistan. He lives in Sacramento, drives here to drive in the city during the week, sleeps in his car, and then drives back to Sacramento to be with his family on the weekend. So huge sacrifices people are making. Guy Berger, did you look also at the impact that the advent of online shopping is having?
Well, I think there's definitely an impact of online shopping, and it is certainly possible, by the way, that some of these people with retail sales skills have actually, you know, moved to online retailers, whether, you know, and sort of using those skills in that space. And generally, online, if you look at the government employment data, online retailers are adding employees much faster than the traditional brick and mortar retailers. But even the traditional brick and mortar retailers, after, you know, struggles in early 2017, are adding headcount. And I think a lot of it is just the labor market is, you know, and the economy are doing better, and they continue to grow across almost all the country. And that means you need to, even in a sector like retail that's facing some technological pressures, you still need more heads to be able to sell stuff.
Does the shortage of workers mean, Guy, that more workers who are in retail are working longer hours, working overtime?
In all likelihood, many of them are. Additionally, I think, and this is important, these things that we talk about, for example, housing costs, long commutes, these things are not just affecting retail. We're seeing its shortages in all sorts of skills. Journalism, K-12 education, nursing, maintenance and repair. So if you're looking for almost any kind of worker in the Bay Area, you are fighting with a lot of other employees to lock up that talent. And I think it's just a, you know, very, as Kathleen said, a very, very tight labor market.
What does that mean, Kathleen Pender, if this trend continues and maybe worsens? And as the guy said, it's not just retail, it's restaurants, hotels, I mean, any sort of entry-level jobs.
Well, prices go up, and you're seeing that. The retailers I talked to just said that they're forced, if they have to pay their workers more, they either have to charge more or go out of business. And
Both are happening.
Right, exactly.
We're talking with Kathleen Pender from the San Francisco Chronicle and Guy Berger, chief economist with LinkedIn, about the shortage of retail workers in the Bay Area. Love to hear from you, either if you're a business owner, some of the struggles you're having finding employees for your business, or a shopper, or if you work in retail or used to. I'd love to hear from you as well. Give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, that's 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQ. QED Forum, or email your questions to forum@kqed.org. You can also post them if you'd like at kqed.org/forum. We talked about online jobs, Guy, obviously the big 800-pound gorilla there is Amazon. How many jobs for a company like Amazon are here in the Bay Area?
So I think there are absolutely, you know, online retail jobs. Some of them, because even these brick and mortar retailers have, you know, a lot of them now have online operations. We do know that, for example, Walmart Labs has, you know, has their headquarters here in, or, you know, big office here in Silicon Valley. So I think that some of these are certainly in that space, but the reality is, if you look at the mass of employment of the retail sector, there're just still a lot more employees and workers in, you know, the tradition, you know, the old school retail sales roles. And I think part of it, and I think this is what I think in my, you know, my sense is somewhat overplayed by people to talk about the outlook being optimistic, is yes, retail is struggling, but it is, and people are doing more online shopping, but for certain kinds of shopping, people's either technology and online retailers have managed to displace that. I mean, think about how many people buy cars online. Very few. They still go to the dealership. And the other ones where sales, you know, the face-to-face sales skills are still really, really important. And that, even in the Bay Area, which is probably one of the most cutting-edge technological areas in the country, that has not changed.
Kathleen Pender, what does this mean in terms of revenue for local government, in terms of, say, sales tax?
Well, obviously, the more retail sales you have, the more sales tax you have. It's, you know, the big companies, Facebook, LinkedIn, you know, they get all the publicity, but small merchants are really the backbone of San Francisco. And, you know, the city has to realize that and think about if there's things they could be doing to help some of the smaller merchants and not just the big Twitters of the world.
What are some of the ideas that have been floated to do that?
Well, I'm not an expert on that.
Guy, what are some thoughts that you have about what the city could do? Because actually, I mean, many business owners would say this, it's actually the opposite. The city does all kinds of things to make it harder to operate in the city in terms of regulations, maybe lack of services or transportation isn't as good as they'd like it to be. What are your thoughts about that in terms of local governments?
Well, I think that there's, you know, one of the things we talked about making it really difficult to find workers is the fact that it's so expensive to live here. So things that make the Bay Area more affordable and easier to live here, whether it's infrastructure that allows people to have easier and shorter commutes, or more housing units are the kinds of things that I think are, you know, I'd say probably generate the most win-wins both for workers and for employers.
And what about the sort of the you know, regulations, you know, people that do have businesses, I hear it all the time that it's, you know, whether it's inspectors or permitting, all kinds of things that the city does that make it harder and make some, retailers, you know, restaurant owners pick up and leave and just go somewhere else.
So I think these things could be making a difference on the margin, but I think that it is, to me, pretty striking that the consistent message that these folks are talking about is, it's, you know, the labor costs. We're talking about an industry that is very dependent on, you know, more than others, is not extremely capital intensive and is very labor intensive. And now that pay is going up in some cases, and that if employers aren't willing to raise pay, they can't find workers. You know, I think that's really what's driving things the most. The regulations are obviously maybe making a difference on the margin, but you know, there are other parts of the country where with restrictive regulations where, you know, they don't have the same shortage. And
Kathleen?
I think that's telling.
Yeah, Kathleen?
Well, one thing some of the retailers mentioned to me is one reason they have hard time getting employees is street crime, smash and grab, theft dissuades some people from working in street level stores, also transportation. It's just because of our disjointed Bay Area transportation system, it's very hard to get from, you know, city to city. So those are some things that could benefit not just retailers, but everyone.
All right, let's go to the phones now. And Anne in Mountain View, you're first. Welcome.
Hi. I have two different comments, but they're both really key to this discussion. One is that I think cities really have to consider that this is going to be a high-demand area for the future, and that it might be a good idea to start buying the retail areas in the same way that cities buy school sites and other sites in order to stabilize the cost of those. And the great thing about it is that into the future, it doesn't cost the city more, but they'll accrue a value of being able to leverage exchanging lower rents or even, renting the land the way Stanford does and the property being sold. But they can leverage lower costs to the retailers in exchange for competitive wages, for traditionally low-wage workers.
Yeah, interesting idea. What's the second thing?
The second comment is, you know, industry insiders say that about half the money that could be made in the clothing sector is being left on the table. And I think this affects why there's been retail closures. And it's because the average American woman is now a size 14. And the way clothing is made, it doesn't serve that sector. It's not enough to just keep making clothing larger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's an interesting, very interesting. That's a whole other show. And I think we may have done that show, but it's interesting.
But the tech sector could solve that problem. And if there's more money being made in that sector, it could also create higher wages.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for that. Interesting ideas. Either of you have thoughts about this notion of local governments actually buying land? It's expensive for local governments, too. I mean, it seems like they would do it more for housing first than for retail, Kathleen.
Yeah, I know. San Francisco has been trying to create teacher housing for years and years, and it's hasn't been too successful yet. They're working on it still. We'll see if it happens.
Yeah. Let's read a couple listener comments. Heather says, I try to shop local instead of online, but between problems with product availability and clerks' bad attitudes, I often end up leaving and spending no money. And then Owen says, I went to Macy's yesterday, doesn't say which store, was stunned at the state of things, clothes strewn in the aisles, piles of unfolded garments, almost no one at checkout desk. It looked sadly untended, and rather than inspiring a buyer's optimism, it was simply depressing. And I'm wondering, you know, guys, is this sort of a result of, businesses trying to cut costs and the difficulty of finding people to work?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think this is sort of, if there are shortages, our data suggests, and the Bay Area has, you know, some of the most intense retail skill shortages, and frankly, a lot of other shortages, I think that's what you're going to start seeing is, you know, that kind of stuff, where first thing you have some places no workers, and the other one, because firms aren't necessarily paying what the best workers want, in some sense, they get what they pay for. And I think that's sort of, it is certainly not surprising to me to hear that kind of story in a very tight labor market where it's very hard to find workers.
And that, of course, could lead to a downward spiral. I mean, that doesn't sound like Owen's going to go back to Macy's anytime soon.
Well, yeah, but I think the one thing to remember is that part of the reason that there's a shortage is because You know, I think that, companies can't find these workers. So I think you could, you know, in some sense, this is the retail sector, to the degree it's having trouble finding workers, is a victim of the success of the Bay Area economy. And so when you say downward spot, I mean, I think that what eventually happened is that retail employment demands, with, you know, through pay rising or through some stores closing, is going to come into line with the kind of labor they're able to hire, which might not, in Macy's case, might be, you know, insufficient to keep running certain kinds of activities.
I want to bring a small business voice into the conversation now. Mario McGannum owns the Postal Chase. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Tell us a little bit about how this issue is affecting you as a business owner.
Well, you know, it's a dramatic effect, and I really appreciated listening to all of you discuss this, because it is a lot of moving parts, and all the parts seem to be moving in the same direction, which is unfortunately is the wrong direction for small business. Whether it be, you know, expensive operating costs, just being unique to San Francisco, which are cost prohibitive, and we get that. San Francisco is an expensive city to operate, but I think a lot of small businesses have realized that all these little moving parts seem to, you know, erode at the desirability or the profitability of keeping a business in San Francisco.
Have you thought about leaving?
You know, I'm so well that I'm a San Franciscan. I've been here for 50 some odd years. I couldn't imagine what I would do. I'd feel like an immigrant if I left the city itself alone to anywhere else in the Bay Area. But I've had many employees and family members and nieces and nephews who've wanted to get into this kind of a business, and I've advised against it. And I told them, one, don't do it. Small business is a challenge. And in San Francisco, I recommended against it. I told them, go do something else, because this is, you know, kind of not a dying industry, but definitely an industry that is struggling. And I'm hoping that there will be recovery, because the people that are going to suffer the most from it are going to be the residents of those areas and the city from its lost revenue. I mean, they're going to have to deal with all this urban blight as it starts to slowly creep up on them.
What do you think the city could do to help somebody like yourself?
Oh, Lord, if I had a wish list, first of all, economic revitalization. Second of all, just financial relief, even just simplifying the systems. I know they've been working on simplifying the, you know, some businesses claim that they have to have like 25 different city permits to operate. And that's really ridiculous. The city has always made it kind of had the attitude of, well, we're a desirable city, we're San Francisco, and you have to really want to be here to be able to say you're doing business in San Francisco. Unfortunately, businesses have started to realize it's not mathing out.
When you say financial relief, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, one, lower city fees, and also the city pumping in economic or revitalization money into the city. Not to pick on one group, but they spent $300-some-odd million caring for the homeless. If they spent a fraction of that just helping small businesses, whether it's through programs, through revitalization, through clean streets, through more desirable programs, retail now is becoming an experience, not just a place to go purchase something. And many of our neighborhoods and commercial corridors are looking kind of shabby.
I wonder, where is your store?
I have multiple locations. I've got four locations. One in West Portal, one on Fillmore and Union in Cow Hollow, one on in Coal Valley on Coal Street, and one on Divisadero.
Yeah. You know, I'm always struck, Kathleen Pender or Mario, by bustling Hayes Valley is, you know, and there are very few, if any, chain stores there. A lot. It's not cheap, you know, but there's very few vacant storefronts. Any idea how do they manage to do it? Any idea, any of you? Mario?
From my perspective, I know Hayes Valley, and I've actually looked at Hayes Valley as a location for my business. It didn't quite fit my model, per se. But it is hustling and bustling, and I think a lot of the shops are doing well because they've created that experience. They've really worked hard on revitalizing the avenue. You've got to remember, Hayes Valley after, Hayes Valley blossomed after, I think, the Central Freeway, correct me if I'm
wrong. That's right, no, after the Loma Prieta earthquake, absolutely.
And after the Loma Prieta earthquake. So, but look how many years it took them to get there, to that point.
Yeah. Kathleen, Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt. Kathleen, you wanted to
jump
in.
Well, I think you have a lot of tech workers living in that area, too. And there are people in this city making a ton of money. And if you can cater to that crowd, I think you can do okay.
And Guy Berger, you know, actually, to be honest, I was a little surprised that LinkedIn had a chief economist. What else does your company do in terms of analyzing these sorts of trends?
Well, we look at all sorts of, you know, I think what I would say is what our goal is in the economic research department is if you have a question about anything in the labor market, we want to gradually develop the ability using our data to answer it. So we look at things like geographic migration, people migrating in and out of the Bay Area, at hiring trends in the Bay Area, and then also at these skills gaps. And I think that like Kathleen said, you still have people with that are, you know, fairly prosperous and talented moving here, and in some cases, by the way, displacing worker, you know, some of these workers that are lower paid. And among other things, one of the things they're doing is continuing to push up real estate costs, but also spending money. And as Kathleen said, if they're, you know, I think things that cater to money spent by high-earning tech workers are probably doing better on average.
All right. We are talking this hour about the Bay Area shortage of retail workers. My guests are Guy Berger, chief economist from LinkedIn, Kathleen Pender, business columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, and Mario Maganum is a business owner. He owns the Postal Chase here in San Francisco. Mario, if it's okay with you, we'll just keep you on because you have an interesting perspective. But I do want to say you're listening to Forum, and this is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. And for more information about how to support KQED, go to kqed.org. I'm Scott Schaefer. And we'll continue our discussion now, and let's go back to the phones. And Mark in Alameda, you're next.
Hello.
Hi there. Go right ahead.
So I had a comment. I've worked in retail for about 6 or 7 years. When I first moved to San Francisco in 2011, I got a job at Macy's San Francisco downtown. Uh-huh. And I just want to talk about how the culture changed over those 6 years. When I first got there, I was trained to be a salesman, to approach customers, to upsell, to be able to see their outfit and kind of see how I could benefit and also add on to the sale. But by the time I left, that whole culture was gone.
What do you mean?
I feel like what Macy's was hiring at that point were people at the register, clerks who just stand at the register and just check people out. And the reason for that, I believe, is along with that culture went our bonuses, our incentives to sell. By the time I left, or actually right after I left, the new contract negotiation, because we were a union store, we had lost the incentive to sell with the I'm sorry, I'm losing.
That's okay. That's good. I think we get the point. And Kathleen, I'm wondering, one store that retail store that does seem to have really good service, and in contrast to what the caller just talked about, is Nordstrom.
Well, that is their competitive advantage. They've built their company around that. And that works for them. But, they've had their struggles, too, like all retailers. But, yeah, definitely.
All right. Thanks very much for that call. Let's go now to Sharon in, looks like, Elmira?
Yes.
Where's that?
Yes, Elmira. It's outside of Vacaville. Pretty soon we'll be swamped by Vacaville. But we're about 300 people. We have our own post office.
Okay.
It's like a little spot of the Midwest that got plunked down in the North Bay.
And what's going on there retail-wise?
Well, my comment is, I have a daughter that has worked in retail for many years, and my comment is that I think the big box retailers are disingenuous about the difficulty of finding and retaining employees, because the big struggle is really underemployment. So she works at a big box store, and so they're capped at how many full-time employees they have. So I think I'm trying to figure it out, but it's about 15% or something like that. She would love to work for this retailer at a full-time job. But since Obamacare came along, which I'm in favor of Obamacare, but the benefits kick in at 30 hours, right? So now they can, almost all the employees can only get 26 hours a week.
That's interesting.
And by the time she gets like 22 or 24, and she is desperate to leave, not because she doesn't like working for them. She does like working for them.
She wants more hours.
She would like to stay with them, but she's got to, she is desperate to find a full-time job that has benefits.
Guy Berger, did you see, find that at all in your study?
I mean, I think that just generally what we're seeing is that both employers across the country, despite the fact that they perceive a lot of very intense labor shortages, they're still raising both pay and in terms of wages and salaries and, you know, non-cash benefits. Those things are still growing at a very slow pace. Over the past year, they're barely keeping up with inflation. So it's not... It is, to me, not entirely surprising that some workers are saying, well, you tell me you really need me, but you're not willing to pay me what you know, the market's telling me that I deserve. And I think that's sort of a lot of what we're possibly seeing here.
Here's an email from Marisa who says, in the 90s, it was the high school kids who worked retail at the Stanford Mall and so on. Today, it seems retail workers are expected to be older and more experienced. And the question is, don't high school kids want summer jobs and after-school jobs anymore? Guy, do you have any thoughts about that? Or let me ask Mario. I haven't brought you in. And we are short on time, but do you look for high school kids? Who do you look for to work in your store?
Historically, it's funny that you had mentioned that. Historically, I used to hire a lot of high school kids. I used to have one or two primary, grown-up full-time employees, and then I would hire numerous high school kids throughout the summer and throughout the school year, and accommodate their school schedule with, you know, exams and midterms and summer vacations and whatnot. And it was great. But the moment the payroll started to bump up and the moment the trigger points for hiring employees and what you had to pay and do according to that kind of made that prohibitive. In fact, I feel like as if the minimum wage program in San Francisco alienated a lot of people, or eliminated a lot of people, including the youth, and those employees that you would probably maybe think about taking a risk with. But at $15 an hour now, I cannot afford to take a risk on an employee to figure out if he's going to work out after a month.
Yeah, interesting and very complicated topic, as it turns out. But thanks to all of our guests. We're out of time. Guy Berger from LinkedIn, Kathleen Pender from the San Francisco Chronicle, and Mario McGonum, business owner of the Postal Chase. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
I'm Scott Schaefer, here today for Mina Kim. Thanks so much for joining us.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of the Minetti Schremm Museum of Art at UC Davis, who believe that all people deserve access to education and culture to enrich a lifetime of exploration and learning.